Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Don't forget, if you are a Sunday school teacher or a children or teen worker, and you should know who you are, the pastor sent out an email this week. There is going to be a special meeting after the morning worship service down in the Family Life Center, and lunch will be provided. So don't forget about that in your rush to head home. So you know who you are, so don't forget about that. Choir practice will be tonight at 5, as usual. Please make sure if you're in the choir or want to be in the choir, you come out and participate in that. And then small groups tonight at 6 p.m. There are sheets for tonight's small group back in the sound booth, so you can grab one of those on your way out the door this morning. Of course, Wednesday evening services at 6 p.m., children, teens, adults. The adult Bible study, of course, from Hebrews, so don't forget about that on Wednesday night. Walking in the Family Life Center on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. like we've been doing. So if you want to come out and be part of that, make sure that you come out and walk. And if it's too hot or if it's rainy, of course, we'll be inside. And then prayer time on Friday morning at 9 a.m. Doors will be open for anybody that wants to come and pray. And, of course, I got too excited in talking through the week and skipped over the church board meeting tomorrow night. Normally I try to go in order, and I got out of order today. So Monday night, church board will be meeting at 6:30 p.m. in the conference room. Mary has your packets, so please, board members, make sure you get with her to get your info so you can review that for tomorrow night. All right, I think I've got a short list today. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your support of the church through your attendance and also through your tithes and offerings.
All right. Stand with us this morning as you're able. Let's pray together and then we'll worship. Father God, we thank you for the fact that we can worship your name because your name is worthy of our worship and our praise. And so God, this morning as we gather in this place for just exactly that purpose, I pray that you would help us to realize that we're not worshiping some empty thing. We're not worshiping some God who throws these things out at us and says, this is what you have to do. These are the things you have to accomplish if you want to be in a relationship with me. We're not worshiping a God who's dead. We're worshiping a God who is living and powerful in the world in which we live today. And so God, I pray that you would help us to remember that we would know that we serve a God who's alive and well on planet Earth, and that you're still on the throne and you still hear and answer the prayers of your children. God, as we continue in this time together this morning, I pray that you would bless it, that you would help us to leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Of the fact that our worship is not contingent upon our feelings. It was the psalmist who said, if I make my bed in heaven, you are there. If I descend to the depths of the grave, you're there as well. Here's what we need to understand this morning. If we have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, then we've got something this morning that's worth worshiping about. It's something that's greater than anything that the world has to offer. And it doesn't matter what kind of baggage you've brought with you here today. It doesn't matter if you're having family problems. It doesn't matter if you're having money problems. It doesn't matter if your job's not going the way you think it should be going. It doesn't matter what kind of things you're dealing with. The Lord is telling us, if I can worship with you up here and I can worship with you up down here, then I can certainly worship with you right here. So this morning, I want us to understand something. The hope that we have in Jesus is greater than anything that the world has to offer. It's a living hope. It's a hope that isn't dependent on any certain thing. It's not dependent on feelings. It's not depending on anything that is going on in our life. It's dependent on the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our lives. And that's exactly what I think we need to understand this morning, because that's exactly what we have to worship about. So let's remember that as we sing these next few songs together.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into my heart. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left me thine heaven's throne to build it here inside. You paid the debt I owe, broke my chains and freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. Inside my tomb of sin, you were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Lord, in your goodness. We rejoice, Lord, in your things that maybe we don't want to talk to anybody else about, but we're thankful that you know about them. Or maybe there are, Lord, those things that we requested prayer for in Sunday school, or we called a friend this week and said, pray with me about these things. Thank you, God, that you are in the miracle working business and that you are working in hearts and lives. You are working in our church. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for that today. May you touch those who need your physical touch. Thank you, Lord, for reports that we've heard of this week. And thank you for ways that you've touched and helped. Lord, there are those here this morning that need your physical touch. There are those on our hearts and minds that need your physical touch. So, Lord, we ask you that you would reach a healing hand down and lift them up. I pray, Father, for those who have special needs this morning, maybe that they don't want to talk to anybody else about, but Lord, you know about them. And so we ask you that you'd help, that you'd give hope as only you can. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for those. Thank you, Father, that your word tells us that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to your power that's at work within us. And so, Lord, this morning we ask you for great and mighty things as we worship you through the word and through song today. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your greatness. We rejoice in your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. In Jesus' name.
There is love that cost a life. It paid my way. Death it cries, and when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins for God. There is a grave that tries to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days it breathed again, and it rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he cried. Sides the blind, it heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall down on the ground. So pour it out. Soul, and let his grace, the Lord, be flow, because he lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all, and so I've come to tell you he's alive. Christ died, His precious blood that gave me life.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Tyler.
A young lady wrote D.L. Moody and said to him, Brother Moody, if you want to be effective, you're going to have to leave out that blood stuff. The article went on to say that during his ministry, Billy Graham had a professor from Cornell University write him and say, Mr. Graham, you have great talent and you have what it takes to be a successful minister, but if you want to continue to be successful, you're going to have to leave out the preaching on the blood. It is out of date and no enlightened man of the 20th century will swallow it. God help us. I guess that neither one of these men took the advice they were given. Wow. Both continued to preach about the blood of Christ and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Reverend James Merritt, while attending seminary, had an extremely liberal professor who said, I am sick and tired of this slaughterhouse religion and we need to get it out of our pulpits and out of our churches as quickly as possible. Well, I want you to understand something this morning. Medically speaking, if you take blood out of the human body, that body dies. And let me go on a little bit further and say to you that if you take the blood out of the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ dies. There's no way around that. John says in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this is the message we have heard. That we're not just people of the Word, but we are also people of the blood. We believe that Jesus Christ's blood was shed in order that you and I might be forgiven of our sins. Last week as we celebrated the Lord's Supper, or 2 weeks ago as we celebrated the Lord's Supper together, we talked about the blood and that Jesus said, this is the covenant in my blood. It's so important for us to realize. You go through the Bible, if you were to go through and count, you're going to find that the word blood is found 415 times in the Bible. The Bible begins, basically, with the blood being shed in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, when Cain murdered his brother Abel. You read there, it says in Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, now Cain said to his brother, let's go out to a field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Don't you love that? Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said to him, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Then you go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, you read these words speaking about Jesus, that he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Really, you begin to look all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation, and you're going to find, as someone has said, that there is a scarlet thread that runs from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Someone, as I was reading this week, talked about the fact that the blood bleeds. I mean, the word bleeds. The blood bleeds too. The word bleeds. The book bleeds. Why? Because it is the blood of Christ that purifies us from all sin. The only way that the stain of sin can be removed from your life and my life is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to look briefly at why this is true. First of all, I want you to see that the blood of Jesus comes from a supernatural source. It's not just ordinary blood. It's been interesting this week. I don't know how many of you are read, and I'll get my tongue straightened out here in just a moment. Give me time. I just make my living communicating, okay? Blood still flows from Calvary. You see, when you begin to look at the blood of Jesus, you have to come to the realization that this blood came from a supernatural source. But I also want you to know this morning that the blood of Jesus, we will come to Him if we will be faithful to Him, if we will live for Him. His blood continually purifies from all sin. And I'm so glad to tell you that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. He has paid the price so that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all sin. We believe that. And if we want Almighty God to do something for us, we need to allow Him to cleanse us. I was reading this week and someone said that when God sees sin, He wants to cleanse it. We want to cover it, don't we? We want to hide it. You go back to the book of Genesis. I mentioned it a while ago, but let's go back a little further in the book of Genesis. And what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They went and hid. If I wasn't so old, I'd crawl. And to a parent is to hear kids silent in the other room. God. And probably if you were honest this morning, you would say to me, there's no way that I can change myself because you've tried. There are a whole lot of people out there who want to do good. We want to be forgiven so that we don't have to face hell. Somehow or another, we have this idea that if we can just get that get out of hell free card, we're okay. Christian life is more than just getting out of punishment. The Christian life is about living for Jesus every day of our lives. I'm so thankful that the Word also tells us that Jesus died on the cross that we might be forgiven. But I'm also thankful that the Word tells us that Jesus suffered outside the gates of the city that He might sanctify the people through His own what? Blood. Or that it green. Ugly. Let me tell you a little bit about that car. Mom and Dad bought that car for him. I saw it and I just thought it was a nice looking car. I thought at that point in time, you did hear that clarifying statement. At that point in time, it was so funny. We got the car and you know I just thought it was wonderful. And I mean, it didn't have air conditioning in it, so they had put in aftermarket air conditioning. I said that to somebody the other day, and they just kind of looked at me. They didn't have a clue what aftermarket air conditioning was. Please understand that they used to sell cars without air conditioning. My dad had a Rambler, and it didn't have air conditioning. It had three on the tree. Some of you know what I mean by that. You have not lived until you've driven a Rambler. I bet Eugene could tell me what worked about it. I'll talk to Eugene after the service. Please understand something, folks. The Holy Spirit is not an additive to our lives just to make us run a little better. The Holy Spirit has been given to us in order that He might cleanse our hearts and lives and help us to live the kind of life that Jesus died for us to live. His blood cleanses from all sin, the Word tells us. You know, I don't have a whole lot of hope of being somebody great. I will never be a Billy Graham. I will never be a D.L. Moody. I've been reading this week some of the stuff of Uncle Bud Robinson. One of the great Nazarene evangelists. I didn't realize until this week that he was born in White County, Tennessee. Yep. He helped organize, I think, the Monterey Church, didn't he? Two of the churches, when I was living in Ponca City, Uncle Buddy helped organize that church. I've been reading about these evangelists. When Uncle Buddy was saved, he couldn't even read. He was saved at 20 years old. He was in Texas, and he was a cowboy out there. When he got saved, he had a pistol in one pocket and a deck of cards in the other pocket. And God got a hold of his life, and he began to learn how to read. And within just a few years of him coming to know Jesus, I think it said within 2 years of him coming to know Jesus, more than 200 people had already been saved through his ministry, and he was as tongue-tied as anybody could ever be. Stuttered and stammered. But God got a hold of him, and the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin changed him from the inside out. I don't have a whole lot of hope in a whole lot of things. Our world system doesn't give us a whole lot of reason to hope. But can I tell you something? I do know this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's our hope. There's our hope. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That last verse says this. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Has the blood been applied? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God has done something in your heart and life and your sins have been forgiven and you are going to heaven? Do you know that? Let me ask you another question. Have you been filled with His Spirit? You see, Jesus not only died for our salvation, He died in order that we might be changed from the inside out. In order that we might be sanctified wholly by His own blood. I'm glad to tell you this morning that whatever you need, that the blood of Jesus is more than sufficient for the problems in your life, for the situation that you may find yourself in your heart. Jesus' blood can do the work in you today. Praise His name. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood that can be applied to our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You have come in order that You might cleanse us, that You might purify us on a daily basis. And we're grateful for that today. We rejoice in Your goodness, we rejoice in Your greatness, we rejoice in Your mercy, and we thank You, God, that You are able to do something in us that will transform us, and it is simply because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. Perhaps there's someone here that they need to come and bow before You. It may be about the sermon this morning. It may not be about the sermon this morning. But they simply need to come and bow before You and say, "Oh God, help me." And if that's their case, if that's their condition today, thank You, God, that You will help. And we rejoice and we give You glory for what You're going to accomplish in hearts and lives in people today. Thank you.
hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
For this opportunity that we have to be here this morning, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. I ask you, God, that you'd go with us from this place. Remind us, Lord, as we're leaving, that we are indeed entering the mission field and that there are people out there who need to know that Jesus can change and transform their lives, and they need the blood applied. So help us, God, that we would go out into this world to proclaim the good news that Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. Bless the Sunday school teachers, children's workers, teens workers as we gather here in just a few moments. And may you have your will and way. Bless us as we come back for small groups this evening in various places. May your Holy Spirit bless and lead and guide. And for all that you're going to accomplish, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. I appreciate you being here this morning. Remember all that's going on this evening. We'll see you later.